Buttons hit, motherfuckers. You haven't hit the button.
Yes, no, it is now.
Oh, there you go. You're muted.
Oh, God, I hit the wrong button.
Yeah.
Good evening. It's VoIP Life.
It's VoIP Life. It's Wednesday at 3 p.m. I just got off work and I'm tired. Don't want to do this, but we're going to do it anyway. There's another time. We're out of time.
We're out of time. Do we have anything to talk about? Not really.
No, but we got a beach house that we literally forgot to put up last week.
Someone said, it was you. You said, where is that? And I was like, oh, no. Oh shit.
Yeah.
We're going up.
I'm working tomorrow, on Kodoka. Yeah. I keep putting off the next beach house, even though I should be watching that daily.
It's going bad for all of us, is the thing. I feel about as insane as I've ever felt. It's not good.
I feel okay, but only because I'm putting off everything till next week, basically.
Yeah.
I'm actually making progress in Kodoka. I'm like in disc 2, you know, I'm just getting through it.
How long did you take to get to disc 2?
Like two and a half hours, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so I probably should be right by disc 2 then.
Yeah.
Because I've played a bit of Kodoka.
It's clearly just the voice acting fills up the disc. You know, the game's not very big. That 10 hours seems appropriate. That's okay. On how long to beat, so.
Because I'm coming up on 3 hours, and I'm still in disc 1. I'm like, whoa, how is this game actually as short as people say?
I mean, I don't know how you took 3 hours to get to that first part, but yeah, I think it's pretty short.
Maybe a situation of Resident Evil 4 again.
Well, then add 3 hours.
I'm fairly thorough.
Yeah.
I took a little longer for Suikoden than you as well, and I thought I was pretty quick at that one. You're just way quicker at RPGs than me.
Yeah, I guess so. What's up?
Not much. I mean, you
I haven't
know,
talked to you at all today.
Bad, but that's just normal.
Yeah, I guess so.
All the things I'm doing are they're for the podcast. We played some Apex yesterday. That was a non-podcast thing.
We're playing Apex. That's what we're doing with our free time.
But aside from that, I've barely done anything that isn't directly for a podcast in the last 2 weeks.
I've got an Apex party scheduled tonight, I think.
You are literally becoming a robot.
Weird. Why is that? I'm on. Everything's fine.
Oh, that connection level is bad. Let's move from US Central to US East.
Hello?
We're on US East. We fixed it.
How's that?
That's way better.
Okay. I have an Apex night planned tonight, hopefully, I think.
Yeah. I'll be playing Kodoka.
Yeah, I'll be playing Apex. It's good. It's nice to just play a game with like my friend. I never play multiplayer games, so it's such a novelty to me.
Yeah, I've been trying to get you into I've given up for the last 6 years.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get you to play multiplayer games.
You should have picked Apex.
It's not like better than the other things. Like it's fine, right? But I don't inherently think there is too much about
Apex. The thing is, I don't like the fighting games.
Yeah.
That people are into in our friend group. You're into Street Fighter. A couple of our friends are into like Tekken. If they bring back Virtua Fighter, I'll play fucking Virtua Fighter.
We'll see. Yeah.
But they're not bringing back Virtua Fighter. Let's be real.
Let's be real.
So that's a shame. And, you know, I don't want to just play Team Deathmatch. I don't like MMOs. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. It's nice.
Yeah, no, I had a good time.
Yeah. I just been gaming. Not the games that, not the game. So, I'm stuck in Ninja Gaiden 2, and I don't think I'm ever going to finish it.
That's fine.
I can't
that
get
happens.
Past stage 5. I've tried every night. I go through, I get 3 games overs, and I'm like, I'm quit. I'm done for today. I can't deal with this.
What is the boss you're stuck on, or the fight you're stuck on?
It is getting across, like, these big spans of water where the weird, like, snake guys filled with spikes rush at you.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I've tried to avoid them, and I've tried to like get in the water and just shoot them with my big water gun, and neither of them are good. It's just too fucking hard. It's just so fucking hard. And then when you're out of the water, you get swarmed by like 6 werewolves at the same time, and it's just a pain in the ass.
And you're on easy, right?
Yes, I'm on easy.
This is before I would consider the game to have truly got bullshit.
I don't understand.
At some point, the game gets like real bullshit, and you're
I feel
not
like I've been
yet.
Having like a pretty good. I've been getting Master Ninja in every level. I've been doing all right. Like I'm on easy, but you know, I've been doing all right. And this just hard wall.
Yeah, I mean that'll happen. Like this game is bullshit. I adore it, but only because it's like a ridiculous disaster. Like eventually, if you do make it through, you will have to contend with like. So remember the ninjas rocket launchers from the first game?
Yeah.
But what if they shot like 5 times the speed and from off screen?
Oh my god. Maybe I'll just see the rest of it because like I'm curious about the levels because like this game's got moxie in terms of like story and aesthetics. I think that part's pretty cool, but man, it's just been a chore. I'm just like I'm just beating my head against this wall. And on the other side, like I started playing Castlevania Lords of Shadow. You know, the fake Castlevania game. And that's like the most frictionless action game in the world. Yep. You just hit XXX over and over again, and it's sick. It's very straightforward. It's nice to feel rewarded for just playing the video game properly. And I'm playing Devil May Cry 4, which I assume is not considered like the easiest game in the world, but that's not been difficult.
Ninja Gaiden 2 is like famously difficult in a way that none of these other games are. Like, Devil May Cry 4 can get hard, but it's mostly on the higher difficulties.
Mm-hmm. I'm on easy!
I don't know what's... This was not the part where I started getting stuck when I was a kid. I played on normal. I had a lot of trouble through the game, but then the only part was, like, there was a hard wall was the final boss, which took me, like, 6 months.
Oh.
I mostly remember really... You know, I'd also went in having like played a bunch of Ninja Gaiden, right? I'm Ninja Gaiden, not a master. I'm not anywhere close to like an actual Ninja Gaiden good player. But I do have like some familiarity and grounding with the ideas of Ninja Gaiden.
I feel like this game was even much better about explaining like, pull in the yellow orbs to do the charge thing faster. Like it told you how that worked and everything. I've been doing that. It's been great. You can't do shit when you're in the middle of the water.
No, the water stuff's always annoying. I remember always having to like hold back, use a spear gun a bunch, and just get through it slowly.
Yeah. So I guess that's it for Ninja Gaiden 2, because I don't want to buy it. I don't like it that much.
You're not gonna spend $24 on Ninja Gaiden 2.
No.
Yeah, it's leaving Game Pass in like
Lost Odyssey was $6 this week. Why didn't I just... I bought that for $6. If Ninja Gaiden 2 was $6, I'd buy it.
You know what? That's fair. Everything else goes on sale. Ninja Gaiden 2 has not ever gone on sale.
If it ever goes back on sale for $6, I'll buy it.
Yep. Lost Odyssey has never gone on sale before this point.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, it's $6. So like, please pick it up. We're going to play it this year.
Yep.
Probably in June, whichever the even month is. June, I think that's June.
I think it's June.
Yeah. So that'll be good.
I'm very, very excited for that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I've been enjoying Kodoka. We'll talk about this episode, but like, I want to play a normal ass JRPG where I just hit the button and the stats go up. Run around a world map.
You want to play Bravely Default 2?
I do not want to play Bravely Default 2 because I'm going to play Lost Odyssey soon. Do want to play Atelier Ryza, but I'm not doing that either because we're going to play Lost Odyssey soon.
This is the thing, is we made the year of JRPGs and now the JRPGs are chosen. We cannot, on a whim, go and play other JRPGs.
Yeah. I could. I mean, I played 15, but...
Yes, that barely
It's such
counts.
A different thing than everything we had on our plate.
Yeah. Like, it is. I'm not saying it's not a JRPG, but it scratches such a different itch.
Yep. Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm playing a lot of shooters instead. We played Halo ODST, which I don't think we're going to talk about on normal mapping because I don't think we have enough to say to be like official about it. We'll be done with Reach by then. Halo ODST is fucking great. What a good game.
Probably the best Halo.
There's things in, I think 3 like holds together a little better, but I like ODST's weird stuff more.
I think 2 is my favorite just in terms of like, moment-to-moment fighting.
2 is the worst Halo we've played so far.
You are out of your mind.
Though, you know what? Reach is making a confident argument to be last place.
Reach is definitely the worst Halo to me. Like, it's not even a contest. And
we're
I
not
like
done
it,
yet, and not... I don't want to pin it until we're done, you know?
Yep. But, like, the way that the dual-wielding and the... level design works in Halo 2 is really good to me. And then 3 is a little less good, but I think ODST really picked it up for me in the... they made all the levels like half as long.
Yeah, they're really short. Because they're all like flashback set pieces, you just it's just like all killer, no filler. And then the what filler there is getting to do the thing that I've always wanted to do in Halo, but it won't allow you to do, is just book it past every firefight in the city hub.
Halo lets you do that like fairly well.
Yeah. Couldn't get past the... You can't get past that thing in Halo 1 that stymied us, and I'm still sore about it.
We could have if we were not so bad at fighting, but yes.
I guess if we played it now, we probably could have. I've gotten much better at shooters over the last 6 months doing this dumb project.
We should try these, the like, rebalance mods.
Oh, are there rebalance mods?
Yeah, someone's done, like, a whole rebalance of Halo 1 to... one everything in the Master Chief Collection, except ODST. In a way, I was watching the videos and they seemed pretty cool. I might try them out. Not
like what's the
soon.
Is it harder or is it just different?
So, it's actually a rebalance to make the harder difficulties easier but more dynamic.
Oh, okay.
What it was. Like the thing with trying to do is change the part where for Halo like 3 and stuff and 2 as well, all you want is a battle rifle all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
It was like rebalancing around, like, this will do way more damage against shields. This will do way more damage against health. It's more about changing your approaches and stuff. So I looked at those mods and I'm like, oh, I'll try one of these one day. Eh, not now. I'm playing Halo with you. But that stuff seems cool now that all the Halo games are on PC and have, like, you can mod them all, which is very nice.
Yeah. It is nice. More mods. The problem with consoles, now that I'm getting more into console games, is if I get stuck, I can't cheat.
Yep, you can't bring up the console on an Xbox One.
I mean, unless I'm playing a Bethesda game, in which case I can and do.
I guess that's true. They do just let you do that.
The Sims also just let you do that.
Good.
Playing a bunch of the Sims.
Fucking good. Because how can you play the Sims without, you know, Rosebud?
Yeah. She just gave herself a bunch of money, and I was like, yeah, of course. Disables achievements, but who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? Exactly.
But yeah, it's just been gaming time because I haven't felt like doing anything else. I'm like, oh, I should watch movies. And I watched one movie and we're going to talk about it. But, you know, that was it. I felt full after that. I was like, oh, thanks. I'm good.
Yep.
I keep thinking I should watch The Joker, but I keep not doing it. Someday I will pull the trigger and suffer for 2 hours.
If you want to watch Joker, be my guest, I guess. I have learned enough about it that I'm like, I'm not even interested. It just seems boring. It just seems very boring.
It does seem boring, but for some reason I have this curiosity like, oh, what if I come out with like a unique take on the Joker? Not that I'd like it. I don't think that's true because I watched like the first 10 minutes and got bored and turned it off, but maybe I'd have something going on.
I love to watch the first 10 minutes of a movie and get bored and turn it off. I've done that so many times the last few weeks.
This I did months ago at this point. I usually, if I'm watching a movie, I commit to the movie. I hate the feeling of abandoning a movie is the thing.
Yeah, me too, but I've just been real lax about it lately. I don't know. I'll just watch something like, I'm going to watch this, and then I'll finish the like food and meeting, and I'm like, I'm done watching this.
Why is this thing, I guess this is because all of my awareness is British-centric. Why is this tweet going around of like, circle where you think Wales is?
Because Americans don't know where Wales is.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I know exactly where Wales is.
Point to Wales on this map.
How am I going to do that in a way that you can see?
What you're going to do is you're going to make a snipping tool of this image and then copy it, circle it for me, and then send it to me, and then I will describe what you have done.
Okay, I'm going to do it. New. It's like all of Europe. Like, what are you doing? The thing is, I'm not specific, but I'm closer than a lot of people. I know I'm closer than a lot of people.
Yep.
I can't see my cursor. There we go. Okay.
All right.
We're going to send this.
Discord.
Yep. Here we go. This is where I think Wales is.
Close enough.
Yeah. It's the south of your country.
No, I mean, you also, like, circled Devon. And
look, I know it's down there, right?
It's up. It's further up. It's actually like.
Is it where the Big Bay is?
No, it's. I mean, kind of. Let me do it. How do I?
I'm gonna look at. I can just Google where Wales. Everyone could do this. I can just Google where Wales. But like, they gave you a map of Europe.
They did do that.
Okay. Yeah. I was a little south. Yes. Fair enough. I see.
Sorry. Yep. It's the whole outer bit, that sticky out bit.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. But it makes the south wall of the big bay. I don't know if that's actually a bay. It looks like a bay to me.
Probably. I don't know if we call them bays here. I wouldn't know. I don't remember.
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I see. But yes, the reason this tweet is blowing up and being rude is that anyone who doesn't really know would be looking for like a single block of a country.
Oh, like, yeah.
Because the tweet says, show me which country Wales is.
Yes, which not. I feel like that's a trick question to anyone who doesn't live in your country.
This is absolutely a trick question. The tweet is blowing up because it's a mean trick.
Yeah.
And this, like, well, by the time you listen to this, you'll be like, oh, this was days ago. Well, I guess I have to get this out in 2 days, so maybe.
Yes.
Because we're recording this late enough that, you know, maybe not as much of an issue.
Is it Wales.
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 They talk like this in Wales.
They do. You're accurate.
About to get real roasted.
I got about half of Wales there, but I did also get like Devon. You're correct. I did circle a lot of shit there.
Yep. You're going to start sucking. You're like, because that gets into the West Country, which is, you know, like Hot Fuzz.
It's true.
But that's some places in the UK.
Yeah, we did it. So I watched Kong Skull Island. People were talking about the trailer. I haven't even seen the trailer yet for Godzilla vs. Kong. And I saw Godzilla, the Western, the legendary one or whatever, and didn't see King of the Monsters, didn't see Skull Island. Skull Island's on HBO Max. We have HBO Max in this house. Destiny pays for that. And so I watched it. Because everyone was going on about how nobody cares about King Kong, and I am the brave person who stands up and says, King Kong is good, actually. Shut the fuck up.
Wait, because so the trailer came out for the new one, and everyone was like, oh, what's a monkey going to do against the nuclear dragon that breathes fire and destroys cities?
Going to get lightning punches and punch him into the fucking ocean is what he's going to do. That already happened before all of us were born.
Yep. King Kong is cool. This is just a true fact. I do think people are being a little mean on Twitter.
Yeah.
About, you know, it's King Kong. Have some respect.
I get it. Like, no one really liked that Peter Jackson movie. I was not a huge fan. The 70s one is like a joke. Probably most people haven't seen the 33 one. It's out of print right now, which is very frustrating because I was like, man, I should get that on Blu-ray. It's like $100 to get that on Blu-ray. It's not worth it.
That's ridiculous. For King Kong, it's like a classic movie.
Yes, the movie, the release, I remember when that release came out. That release was under $20. It was like a $15, cool. Like one of those like books that has a disc in it. Remember those early Blu-ray packagings?
Regrets.
Yeah. I bid for one on eBay. I was like, I'll pay up to $20 for it. The auction ended yesterday. It was like $98. I was like, I'm glad I stopped bidding on that.
Yes.
I'm a King Kong fan. I understand his movies are like not as popular and always really racist. They're really fucking racist because you always have at least 20 minutes where you hang out with a bunch of islanders who worship King Kong and it's always embarrassing. This is true in Godzilla vs. King Kong also, the original. I assume they will hopefully take that out of the new one. Who can say? But Kong Skull Island definitely spends 30 minutes on this exact thing and it sucks there too. But yeah, I watched that. That movie is an incoherent mess. It's terrible.
It's a disaster of a movie. I hate it. I hate it so much. And at the time I was watching it, and people were like, it's kind of mixed, but you know, it's some interesting stylistic choices, and it's not like terrible. So I was like going in and being like, maybe I'll enjoy this. This is the guy that's making the Metal Gear movie. And then I watched it and was like, oh, this is like, this man doesn't actually know how to direct even a little bit. Like, it wasn't just like I didn't like the movie. It was a disaster. It's a bad film.
It's like a 70s movie that has never seen a 70s film before, but wants to pretend like it's hearkening back to 70s cinema. All that means is that Captain Marvel doesn't wear a bunch of makeup and Loki's in a really tight shirt the entire time. That's it. That's what you get.
But also, and also like, the entire movie is like intensely fucking color graded, but not to look like real 76. Like,
no, it's like there's like a bit early on within a bar and it's just like fucking Suicide Squad in there. It's like everything's like a big lurid green or like red. I'm like, what's happening? Why'd you do this?
And you like look up some of the things he said. It's like, oh, this man's like a weeb and a gamer. This is like if you let like the anime trending tab direct a movie, in a way that is really fucking like no sense of aesthetics. It's really bad. It's god.
Yeah, and so then you get all of the weird Vietnam parable stuff, which is awkward at best, especially considering the good guys also just go to a nation they don't belong in and you know talk to everyone and wreck a path through the country and then get out. And it's good because the good guys did it. It's really bad when Sam Jackson does it. The oldest working soldier in history.
Yes.
Who just doesn't work. One, because he has too much charisma, but two, I feel like he's above playing these kind of like obvious villain roles. It just doesn't really work. And there's a whole thing where like he's seen the real shit, so he knows what it's like, and he's not gonna let Kong live because Kong's a threat. But also, Captain Marvel, I don't remember her name. Allison Brie, is that the other lady?
I believe that is her name.
Okay. And she's seen some shit too, and she's a photographer. She's covered wars, you know. And there's a bit early on where someone's like, "Oh, you don't look like a war photographer," and she's like, "No, I'm an anti-war photographer." And I just wanted to shut the movie off.
God, you can't do that.
Yeah. And there's like this undercurrent of like, "Oh, the photographers are what ruined the war for us." Coming from the soldiers who were in Vietnam, the soldiers in Vietnam didn't want to be in Vietnam. That's the whole point.
Yep.
But this is like the idea, like all these peaceniks at home ruined the war for the real hard asses who are out there in the jungle fighting everyone. And it's like, that's just ahistorical.
It's got nothing to do with actual like dynamics of Vietnam, right?
Yeah. And so they fly over and they're dropping bombs on Skull Island, and then King Kong shows up, and there's just a protracted sequence in broad daylight where he just swats at helicopters for 10 minutes. Like, just yes. Robbing him of all majesty. He just looks like a little kid, like, throwing his toys around.
While also all the camera is trying to do is, like, look how huge this King Kong is.
Yeah.
But, like, it's all to the scale of, like, this island that is made up. So it doesn't feel real. He's just swatting at little helicopters.
And you're like, okay, at least they're, like, actually murdering guys. Like, guys get literally, like, cut in half and squashed. And, like, this movie is, like, a hard R. They're going for it. And there's, like, a certain funness to that, I guess, if you're, like, really into this genre for genre's sake. But then after that, like, everything calms down. And you get this sequence where the soldier's on the island and he sees King Kong fighting a squid. It's just an animation. It's just a cool screensaver of a King Kong fighting a squid. There's no stakes. There's there's nothing real in the scene. It's just a big CG gorilla fighting a big CG squid for 5 minutes. You're like, my time was wasted. There's nothing here.
My time was extremely wasted.
I just don't understand this kind of filmmaking. And I guess it's like a lot of blockbusters. Like, this is like the end of every superhero movie. You get to the part where suddenly everyone's in costumes and they turn to their CG models and they like throw each other around a set that isn't real. And you're like, what are we doing? Everything's gone. Like you left the ideology back there when you stopped being real people.
It's meaningless. It's just stuff happening until it ends.
Yeah. And it's not cool stuff. Like, look, I understand that people don't want to put people in costumes. It's not on trend. If King Kong was a guy in a costume or like a stop motion thing, everyone would make fun of it. But this movie has versions of this that are good. There's a bit where they go into like this, like Kong's parents' graveyard. Like there's a big couple skeletons of giant gorillas, and they go in there and they fight these like weird, like video game monsters. They're like these weird skull worms with arms. They're bad, but it's people reacting to like CG monsters, and because there's people there and those people are in peril, it works, because they look at the CG thing and they scream, and you're like, oh yeah, that thing's fucked up, look at what it did to that guy.
It's not like hard.
No, it's really not hard.
And in fact, this entire genre is like exercises in how to humanize like monster spectacle with actual stakes. That's what the genre is about. That is the core of it.
Yeah.
Before any like thematic stuff and like things that are being said, that's it. That's the genre.
Yeah. Yep. You need the people going through their lives and having problems to juxtapose against, it sucks that you're like in love with this girl, but the city's on fire because the big dragon showed up and spread nuclear fire over everything.
Yeah.
This movie has none of that because it's just a bunch of characters you don't like. It is ludicrous, like post-Vietnam revisionist setting, yelling at each other about how wrong it is to like be there while they take John C. Reilly out of there. The only person having fun is John C. Reilly. I don't think he's like good in the movie, but at least he's aware that the material's bad.
But he does know it's stupid.
Yes. Though he does get the prologue where he clean shaven now goes up to his wife who's like hasn't seen him since World War II, hat in hand, and watches a game on the television which didn't exist when he was gone while drinking a beer or whatever. And you're like, man, this is saccharine in ways I don't understand. I don't like Americana this much. I feel like if you're making a Vietnam story, you shouldn't like Americana this much.
But it doesn't even feel like it's like referencing Vietnam or Vietnam movies. It's like, oh, this is just like that time in Watchmen they went to Vietnam, is basically what it ends up feeling like. It's just like so far removed from the source, like referencing copies of copies of copies.
Yeah. But he literally gets the like post-World War II, everyone's home and happy ending, right? Like, oh, you know, the soldiers come home and they get to sit down and enjoy the luxury of mid-century Americana. And I'm like, that's gone by the time this movie takes place.
It's the 70s.
Yes. It really just wants to have its cake and eat it too. It's really frustrating. Mm-hmm. And then there's the bit at the end where they totally Avengers the other monsters. But like, oh, look at these cave paintings of Rodan and Ghidorah. And I'm like, I just don't give a shit. Like that movie, I'll watch that movie. I probably hate it, but
people hate really, that one.
That's a terrible way to introduce those characters.
You can't like do that. And more importantly, like they made King of the Monsters, right? Which I haven't seen. But they didn't make a Mothra movie.
Yeah.
That's not allowed.
Yeah, you didn't make a Mothra movie, you didn't make a Rodan movie, you didn't make a movie about Mothra versus Godzilla and then put them on the same side later.
You can't skip these steps.
Yeah.
You can't go straight to three Mothras teaming up against King Ghidorah, right? You just literally could. Like, also, if your goal is to have a like long-running cinematic universe, right, why would you skip those steps?
I don't know.
Because now you're out. You're out. They have to do, now he fights King Kong after the King Ghidorah fight.
Yeah, after three kaiju, three or four, three.
I think it's three. I think it's, we'll have to watch it later, but yeah.
But after three kaiju team up to fight King Ghidorah, yeah, I don't know. I don't understand what the point is.
Stupid.
I mean, they couldn't even make Godzilla the existential threat of the Godzilla remake, right? Like Godzilla ends up being like the soft good guy against the other monsters in that movie.
Well, that's true. That is very true. But I did like that because it was more, it did not feel as cowardly as it seems
in the original Godzilla. That's the pivot in like movie 5.
Yes.
But I understand we're not making movies at the same scale anymore, but they should at least give him one movie where he can just be a threat.
Yeah, I understand that, but it felt to me more, at least at the time, right? I was like, this movie understands that the people are going to be cheering for Godzilla. You can't make a movie in which people aren't cheering for Godzilla, because it's fucking Godzilla.
We've watched Godzilla. You're not cheering for Godzilla.
That's true.
You can just make that movie in the modern context, because it sucks to see people destroyed by natural disaster and government malfeasance, which is what the genre is about.
Yeah, I just like that film, but yes, you are right.
I mean, yeah, I like that movie just fine, like more than most, but like you didn't successfully make a new Godzilla. You skipped a couple steps and you went and made like Godzilla 3 or 4.
There was no Oxygen Destroyer.
Yeah. Ah, the Oxygen Destroyer.
Yeah.
It's good. It's just good. I like the Oxygen Destroyer. That's all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's really frustrating as someone who like likes King. There's a moment where Captain Marvel's like sitting there on like a rock outcropping in the night, and she's with Loki, I think. And King Kong comes out of the mist, like they missed this 100-foot tall gorilla coming at them after he emerges from like a light fog. And there's this moment where it's like looking at them, and she reaches up and touches his face, and it's like, oh, he's not actually just a horrible monster. He's actually just an animal who has feelings just like we do. And that's it. There's no, like, I understand he didn't want to do the weird, like, romance thing that drives the original plot, right? Or like, oh, you know, the gorilla's in love with the woman. There's a lot of weird shit around the original King Kong. Mm-hmm. But all that happens then is, like, she gets knocked in some water later and he saves her. And it's, like, a dramatic moment. Like, oh, King Kong did one good thing. And it's like, the people on the island, John C. Reilly told you that they worship Kong because he's protected them for decades.
It understands, right, that like King Kong is inherently racist and fraught as a story.
Yes.
But it doesn't change it. It just turns it down, but it still pivots its emotional like core on like, no, this, you know, this monster's good because he saves the white woman.
Yeah.
Like, it's still about that, but now less directly and in no way, like, you know, there's no way to like do anything with that, right? It just does it in the most boring but still racist way.
Yep. Yeah, I just don't understand any of it. It's just a mess. John Goodman's really good, but he dies like 20 minutes in, so.
Yes.
It's a real shame, because he was honestly the best part of the movie, but.
Everyone loved John Goodman.
Yeah.
No one has ever not been happy to see John Goodman.
Yeah, he's also the only person who, like, even pretends to play like he's in a, like, period piece, right? Like, in the same way that, like, same as you feel about King, Peter Jackson's King Kong, but, like, everyone there is trying really hard to be, like, a 30s movie.
Yes.
And it doesn't necessarily work that great, but, you know, there's none of that in this movie.
No. But it's also in a very different context, right? Like, Peter Jackson's King Kong is the next Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sure was.
Like, people making that are like, this is an important movie. And you don't get that from, all right, we're doing our Marvel Cinematic Universe, but for monsters, I guess, that's what we've bought.
It's true. Bring back Dark Universe. That's the only good version
of this. Hashtag Dark Universe!
Oh, I want it. I don't think it would have been good, but it would have been more fun than this.
It has the best premise of any cinematic universe, which is that, you know, there's some unrelated movies, but in all of them, Russell Crowe is there as Jekyll and Hyde, usually just as Jekyll.
Yep.
Which would have been great.
Yeah. And then obviously in the big crossover movie is when he turns into Mr. Hyde and it's like full on Hulk bullshit, right?
Yeah. It'll be really stupid. It'll be a great time.
Yeah. It writes it. I don't understand how they fuck that up so bad.
I don't understand how movie studios fuck so much up, right? Like, because a lot of this stuff is real foundational, obvious shit.
Yes. Like, would it be good? Probably not. But it seems really easy to do.
And, like, you know, we know what this is like, right? We watch Toku, which is the thing I go to specifically as it's like, they make one of those episodes every week and they have done for 30 years.
Yeah.
And while there are variations in quality, they understand fucking how to hit a formula.
Yeah.
And that's true of, you know, that's the one I went to because it's an obvious, easy parallel to stuff we're talking about. But that's, a lot of stuff is like that. People will understand what they're here to deliver and do it. And I don't know what's up with big movies. They just can't. They're just too big. They collapse under themselves.
Yeah. Well, no one's going to make them anymore, so I guess it's fine.
We're free. No more movies.
It's not. I wish that was true. It's not true.
It is unfortunately not true.
You know that they're going to, I mean, they're ready to turn that, they're turning it on now, right? Like, not everything can be a Disney Plus television show.
No, but Black Widow is supposedly coming to theaters in like 2 months.
Yeah, there's not going to be theaters open in 2 months.
There's not going to be theaters open in 2 months. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no. I mean, I guess they can open the theaters for everyone who's vaccinated, but God.
Oh, that's dark. That's dark.
Yeah.
We can't legally segregate poor people and the normal good rich people, right? We can't do that legally, even though we're doing it in soft ways forever.
We're doing it for the frontline workers who all got their vaccines. And by that, I mean like half the nurses and all the doctors. And that's it. That's all of them. Definitely not anyone who works in a restaurant or grocery store.
No. God, all the vaccinated people going to the people in restaurants unvaccinated. It's just bleak. It's so bleak. I don't like to think about the world.
Yeah, no, it's bad. It's really bad out there.
Here they keep running stories about, like, you know, oh, we got 30 million vaccinated, super fast vaccinations, which...
Once, right? It's the thing once, with yours is once,
one
yeah.
No one's got their second vaccination because they, 3 weeks in, said, we're not doing that, which is...
You need two. It doesn't work with one.
That's super illegal. You can't just 3 weeks into your vaccination program change it from the way it was tested to be done.
Yeah.
And I understand that, like, international law is fake because once you're a state, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's only as real as someone who's willing to come and enforce it for you.
Right. So the UK getting all the drugs and then being like, well, we'll do what we want. And then every scientist has been like, you genuinely can't do that. And that, like, gets, like, third page headlines and it is completely ignored. No one cares.
Great.
Bleak, 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 bleak.
Great. I saw a tweet today, someone being like, it really sucks, like, all of my American friends getting vaccinated while I'm up here in Canada, like, with a press conference, announcing a press conference about a delegation that's going to have a committee formed to negotiate who gets the vaccine. I'm like, I know one person who's been vaccinated, and she works in a doctor's office.
I mean, the thing for this, right, is that, like, there's a lot of tweets where people are kind of, like, jealous of other countries in ways where most of the time they are just different expressions of, like, neoliberal yes. disaster, right? Because yes. the Americans way has been, like, so uncentralized that it's kind of the Wild West and people can get vaccines. What that means is yes. you can buy a vaccine in America. That, yeah. You know,
or if you work in a workplace that, like, for whatever reason values the workers because it's, if they're vaccinated, they can work harder, not be stressed out after a year of this.
Right. And when I say you can buy, I don't mean like everyone can, but like it is so, it is less regulated. The amount of people getting vaccines is not 100% centralized. Whereas in the UK, it's entirely centralized by age. And so like everyone is getting their invites, but you only get one, which is useless. So no one knows what's happening there. And then, yeah, I guess Canada's doing a million. Like, well, we have to make sure we've means tested this correctly.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it. Everyone I know who's gotten it says that it's a real fucking doozy, so.
But, oh, the second one?
Yeah, that second one seems like it fucking sucks.
You're bad for a day or two.
Yeah. They could just give us that time off work, but they won't. You know they won't.
No.
No, of course not. The part where I had to fucking do my day job through all this is infuriating. I get so mad.
It's a nightmare. It's bad. It's bad. Yeah. I am lucky that I don't have a day job, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like it's actually helped your stress levels any.
No, but imagine if I had a day job. I'd just die. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'd be doing this with someone else.
Yep.
Write in who you would want to replace Jackson in VoIP.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Hang on. Excuse me, you can't do that. You can't fan cast who would best replace me.
I can.
You can, but the Discord can't. You do it every fucking day.
That's why we do it to each other. And it's actually a normal feature of, like, look, if you're in a long-term collaborative project with someone, please know who they would want you or be okay with you replacing them with if something happened to them. That's just good to know.
We joke about what happens if the other one dies, like, every week. It's normal discussion. This is just general conversation.
I feel like that's genuinely just an important... That's like having a will. Like, you should have a will, and you should know who you want to replace you in your collaborative projects.
Yep.
It's not like if I keeled over tomorrow, Jackson wouldn't need to get money, right? Like, we're not doing this for fun. I mean, it's fun, but, you know.
But, like, we get paid for this. It has absolutely become more... It is our job. We can't stop. Yeah. When it's, like, gets to the weekend, we can't say, let's not do Gundam this week, because it's how we eat.
Also, if we stopped doing it for like a couple weeks, we'd never come back. We'd fucking never.
We'd never come back. Yes, exactly. When's the next time we score?
it's rough out there. The thing about Halo ODST, we're just gonna cycle back a little bit. It's the last one that's like animated by like animators.
Yes.
And it's good because you get the face scans because they paid for Nathan Fillion and that lady. What's that lady's name? I don't remember her name.
Trisha Helfer. Oh, while we're on this topic of actors, we got our name wrong. It's not Allison Brie. It's Brie Larson. Those are two different
Brie
women.
Larson. Right. Right. It's Brie. Brie is the linchpin here. I know how this happened. Yeah. That's why I asked if it was the other lady and I meant Alice. Yes. Yes. This is how this happened.
Anyway.
So they've got the faces and they're like, you know, bad or like mid 360 models. But, the thing is like the emote, like the Halo 1 characters that are like animated by like an animator. And so you get Nathan Fillion's like featureless head on this body that's just like waving its arms around and walking goofy or whatever. Hilarious. Beautiful. I love it. Halo Reach, they've got mocap now and everyone's just like, there's a scene early on. Our guy's just putting bullets in a magazine, and it's like the most like we could do this, so we did it. And I'm like, yeah, I guess, but like, is it better? No, it's so much more dour now.
And like Halo Reach is like that anyway, right? They there's bits where they're trying to do like this is a handheld shot.
Yes.
In ways that like don't look like Halo to me.
Yeah, there's like multiple bits where you're riding a helicopter, and there's the one where you're like on the side of a rock, like someone's like ahead of you and you gotta like sidle across this rock in first person. And I'm like, man, they just got so insecure about how popular Call of Duty was.
their lunch got ate, and now they are number two.
I don't understand why you don't just lean into things that make your thing, like, say what you will about Gears of War, but when I look at Gears of War, and we're going to play them someday, we haven't yet, I know it's Gears of War. They're doing something different. It's fucking Gears of War. I don't feel that way about Halo. Halo feels like it's evolved towards the center of what shooters are.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the stuff in all the modern Final Fantasies, right? Like, and in the year 2001, this was the fucking thing. And nothing was bigger, at least in the space of console shooters. And you couldn't even come close for, like, 5 years.
But, like, I understand if 343 got real safe, but this is Bungie. This is their swan. They go off and make Destiny right after this.
They are making Destiny at the current time.
Yeah, literally, you drive through a bunch of weird, like, Russian, like, you know, broken down rural zones that have been, like, militarized, but kind of left to rot. And a guy, your big guy walks up and translates Hungarian, right?
It is Hungarian.
But yeah.
Like, even though it is, like, the aesthetically, you know, post-Soviet kind of, dilapidated outposts, it is, like, what it is doing is American
war on terror stuff. Yes.
Yes.
But it just looks like that area. And I mean, I played a little bit of Destiny too. It looks like that, like, Russian area in Destiny too.
Yes.
It's so weird to see them just lock into, like, this is what Call of Duty does. This is what we're going to do. We're going to rip off the military events of today for our sci-fi game about the aliens with their religion that we go fight. I don't know. It's so weird. And then ODST, you escort a weird little turtle man across, like, two maps, and it's fucking sick as hell.
It is pretty sick.
You're like, oh, literally standing there, I was like, wait a second, we killed, like, six of these guys. And then Nathan Fillion's asked, did you run into these? He's like, no, ma'am. It's like, did you fight them? No, ma'am. Did you kill any? A couple. We were blowing those things out of the sky in our fucking spaceships.
With our, like, super chain guns that we had.
Yes. And now we have to escort one, and we found out actually they're, like, prisoners of the Covenant. They're totally, like, neutral. They're fine.
But, I mean, everyone's prisoners of the Covenant.
I don't think that's true.
The Grunts are a slave race. Let me get into some Halo lore. Halo lore.
I fucking hate the Halo lore.
That's why when you kill the elites, they scatter.
Ugh. Because sucks.
The Grunts don't scatter in the level where you fight the Heretic, because those Grunts are fighting for something they believe in. This is the Halo lore and the world building of Halo.
Okay. I hate it. Fucking hate it.
This is the stuff that I prefer. I'll have weird, like, religious tension of alien races above fucking UR Marines. We are mean and green.
Oh, for
bullshit.
Sure. But, like, why do the funny little guys have to be slave race? This is just the droids all over again.
Yes, but, like, at least it knows it.
Does it?
The Grunt Rebellion is, like, one of the first things they established in Covenant lore. It absolutely knows.
Yeah, but not in the video games we're playing. Hasn't come up at all.
Someone has said Grunt Rebellion out loud in a video game.
Okay.
So in a lore book somewhere that is written, but none of Halo knows it, right? Like, none of this is in the games.
That's the problem.
They know it more than the droids.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a low bar in yet.
Yes. It might be the lowest bar in media.
Yeah. It sucks. I enjoy More Civilized Age, which is our friend Austin's podcast with Natalie and Rob and Allie about Clone Wars. It's good. You should listen to it if you don't. I assume everyone here knows about it and has at least tried it out if you're interested in Star Wars at all. But the Clone Wars, so as like the one that everyone's like, oh, this is the Star Wars that's like aware of the prequel's position as like a post 9/11 Iraq invasion, endless war narrative about what that means growing up through that. It still doesn't even touch the part where all the droids are slaves, and that's the humor and the merchandise vehicle of Star Wars.
Yes.
The main characters own slaves. I don't know how you get past this. It just breaks my brain. Luke Skywalker owns a slave. He's owned him for decades, hasn't done a fucking thing about it.
Yep.
Star Wars. It's good. You were on a Star Wars podcast.
I was on two Star Wars podcasts.
Right. Has that other one come out yet? I don't
that
remember.
It came out today. Okay. I was on Nora's podcast. I was on GLHG. What is that actually names?
Good luck, have luck.
Yes, no, yes, I know. That's what I think every time, but I don't know. It's just GHG. There's no L. It's Glasshouse Games. I inserted the L myself because that's who I am. Yeah. They were just talking about Star Wars and Star Wars games and, you know, capitalism.
That was like a real production.
Yeah, no, they wanted me because I was like the prequel defender, and I ended up being like the person arguing for like there is no such thing as a good Star Wars game. In the current, like, you know, game developers are all, you know, and stuff that we say here all the time, right? Like, can't make a good licensed game in the system. The whole thing's fucked. Anything that comes out good is an accident or a miracle, right? Like, the things are not bad because of necessary choices. The entire economic system is set up to make everything as bland and boring as possible.
Yes, but also you read a book that was definitely some choices some people made.
Yeah, well, then we go back to the 90s, where there was not necessarily the same level of corporate branding and oversight. And I read Wedgie Gambo.
Wedgie Gambo.
On The War in Our Stars with Nora. And I had a great time on that podcast, which is good because I had a terrible time with the book.
Seems bad. I remember reading those books and remember nothing about them. And that's good because I get to listen to these and be like, what the fuck happened to these books? I remember a bunch of pilots, and I remember everyone getting into back to tanks every time. That's it. That's all I remember.
I mean, the back to war is coming. They will have to go back to war and fight that fight.
Hate you. Every time you do this, I hate you.
It's good. It's good every time. Tormenting Nora by doing one bad joke over and over again. But yes, no, those books are like loaded with ideology in a way that even by Star Wars standards.
It's a bad ideology. It's so fucking bad.
Yes. I mean, that's what a lot of like, that's what I think of when I think of this era of Star Wars fandom, whether it's necessarily entirely fair or not.
Uh-huh.
But I definitely think of like, you know, the movies are pretty thin, but at least generally directed by, like, Lucas's, you know, post-Vietnam, we must do a guerrilla war against the Empire, like, metaphors, right? Like, that yes. is what Star Wars is about. And that becomes less clear in the 90s, and you get shit like TIE Fighter that's all about how cool the Imperials are, and, like, trying to build all this stuff into, like, a coherent world in which, like, because I associate this stuff, and maybe this is just people I knew and, like, the kinds of people I knew, right, of, like, I associate this kind of fandom with, like, you know, the Warhammer guys as well. Like, this type of nerd.
Yes.
It all blends into one to me, and this book is the embodiment of this shit, as it keeps talking about how, like, you know, the fascists in Star Wars, the Imperial machine is actually, like, really amazing to witness. How did they conquer so much of the galaxy so quickly? How do they make the trains run on time? And that stuff is peak, like, some of the Warhammer nerds I used to do at school.
Great.
We're all probably fascists now.
Love it.
I mean, that's the thing with tabletop nerds, at least those kind of tabletop nerds, that, you know, now it's a little more of a weirdly, you know, liberal space, as you see in tabletop Twitter, but that yes. kind of tabletop nerd, which is also like strategy game people, I feel like 99% of the time, they're either fascists or communists. There's no middle ground. You have to be what pick one or the other.
That's what happens.
These are that's you, what it, that's,
there's no you, mixed success as an ideology.
Yep. You have to. This is what it means for like you know. You
someone's
look at
gonna fucking someone's gonna fucking put this on a, like a dice mug or something and make $1 million.
God damn it,
Austin! If you're listening to this, feel free to take that. Put on some Friends of the Table merch. I don't care. You better you than like someone else. The Critical Role.
I think it's a bit presumptive to say that our tossed off bad joke. 9 a.m. 9 p.m.
If anyone wants to make merch off of anything I say, you got my permission. I'm just giving that a blanket. You know,
no,
I'm creative commenting anything I've ever said that's funny on a podcast because I don't want to make merch every time. Every like fucking couple months Patreon sends me an email like, you really you can make merch, we'll make merch for you, fucking make some merch. I'm like, I don't want to manage this. I don't want to like commission people. I don't want to think about it. I want to try to upsell the audience on a fucking t-shirt. You kidding me?
Yeah, we have looked into merch. And there was one piece, one merch concept.
I wanted one. There's one piece of merch I wanted. That was the Silken Bright, based off of the Silken Goku of Idle Thumbs fame. And it would have been one of those ridiculously patterned, probably a space pattern, like silk button up shirts. And across like the torso would be Bright eating a cheeseburger. You cannot get custom made Silken Gokus for any reasonable price. Not in even like, you can either get them in bulk where you're ordering like thousands and thousands of them, or you're paying like $100 a shirt. And I don't want to do either of those things. So that's it. That was my one idea. That's all I've ever had.
You know, these are for like storing in warehouses and selling at cons.
Yeah.
And we were not at that level. And then we're like, that's it. That's the only merch idea we had. We're done. We're done. Yep. We're done with this.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, I'm the same way. I don't really. You know, we often get all awful emails by Patreon asking us to sell us up on stuff, and
we get it from like other companies now too. I think we're just big enough to like tip over into some people who are sniffing around, like will find us and try to sell us on a dump service.
And we even had like requests from people like, "Are you going to do like the annual discounts?" and stuff. And it's like,
That's like a different thing. I understand the annual discounts are a good deal for you if you just were going to subscribe for a year anyway. The thing is, we rely on this as like a month. Like, I need to pay rent every month. I don't pay rent once a year. I pay rent every month, and I need to know how much money that is.
Yes. Like, it immediately obscures. Like, the reason that we're not doing that right is that our entire, at least as much as Patreon will allow us, we want it to be as clear and obvious a like transaction as possible. You pay this much, you get this much, and it's every month, and that's it. Yeah. No more confusion or bullshit in there.
Also, our most popular tier is $1 a month. It's $12 a year. If you're not saving the like $150 you would save by paying it all up front every year, I don't actually feel that bad about not allowing people to save a little bit of money. I think our tiers are mostly reasonable. Our average is still like $4 a patron. I understand everyone listening to this pays $10 a month or more, and thank you so much for that. I do appreciate it. I understand where you're like, man, if I could pay like $100 instead of $120 every month, that'd be great. I think it's bad. I think it's like one of those things where Patreon's passing the convenience dollar onto you at the expense of the people who need this to live. I don't think you should do yearlies. I know other Patreons feel differently about this. I think you should do yearlies. I think it's bad for the creators in terms of supporting them.
Yeah. I'd rather people just like, you know, sign up.
Yes.
Like, that's why I don't want people to overpay or like, you know, if you just want to pay for Gundam, you know, like that's generally what I prefer.
Yeah, I mean, I like it when people tell us we're funny on this podcast, but, you know.
my need for emotional validation at all times is different to my need for being able to pay rent through Patreon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they are both weird, really powerful needs.
Yeah, no, it's such a weird thing trying to sell your work. I'm like, I'd rather just not. Like I said, let me joke about Max Fun by Mirror Mapping, but, like, I'd love to, like, get paid by someone else who isn't my listeners, and I could just make things that people can listen to. And not have to try to pitch people and sell. Like, listen to them or don't. I don't know. It's hard. It's so exhausting. Especially when you're, like, competing with everyone else who's desperate because no one has, like, all the real jobs have gone away and this is all we have left. And Patreon's always a month away from fucking everyone over.
Oh, yeah. They're going to blow up at some point. We will absolutely have to find a way to transfer Gundam before the end of Gundam.
Yeah, that's almost certainly true.
If Patreon still exists in the form it does by the time we're, like...
miracle.
You know, watching Hathaway's Flash, that's going to be... How have they lasted another 8 years?
Yeah, no, it's true.
I guess I'd like it, because I would like to, you know...
To not have to move everything to some other rinky-dink platform that rises up in the ashes.
Yep.
And it'll be like, oh yeah, we're definitely going to do everything right. We will not screw you over like Mr. Poplamoose, and they're going to get a couple $1 million, and they're going to screw us all over like Mr. Poplamoose.
And then you ask them, that's great, but do you have VC funding? And they go, yes. And I'm like, well, you are. Then it is an inevitability. You don't have a choice.
Then you are lost.
Then you are lost.
God. Are you trying to be a lifestyle brand? Then you fucked up. You're just a payment processor and a website.
Yeah.
Should be as transparent as possible.
Alas.
Yeah. I know there's one kicking around that's like, it's not the one that's like all alt-right people. There is one of those. There's like a Patreon, but everyone who uses it is people who don't know better on the alt-right. And then there's another one that's like, I see it around every once in a while, but I don't know anything about it. So, you know,
I think there is one that's like technically, like that says no VC investment, like they're not trying to grow, right?
Yeah.
That is like branding itself that way. I would love for that to be stable at some point because we're not moving until like something actually foundationally changes.
Yeah, one, we're depressed, two, we're lazy, and three, it's really hard to get people to trust like that process of moving over to a thing. People like, you know, I remember when Kickstarter blew up, everyone was like, oh, is this like a scam or whatever? Like that tension's still there with people. I'm sure there's people who listen to probably not this podcast, but I'm sure there's people who listen to Gundam who think it's weird to pay $1 for a podcast, right? Absolutely. Like, it's like, oh, is this like a scam? Is somebody getting this to a shady site? And it's, no, it's just, it is shady, but in the way everything's shady right now.
But even more than that, I bet there's a lot of people who listen to Gundam who paid $1 and then have never thought about our Patreon once.
Yeah,
like,
no.
You just press the button, then it's in your app, and then if we've moved, they wouldn't know where it is. I'm like that with a load of podcasts, you know, like they're just there in the app. I don't think about it.
Yeah.
Turned off the emails, right? Like, there's people who are doing that for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I turn off the emails on most of the Patreons, I suppose.
Right.
Like, unless you've got like written content, because my podcatcher will catch anything that like you put out. So unless you've got video or written content that I need to like actually see, I probably turned it off. Like, no offense, I just already see it.
Yep.
I know when Export puts out a new episode because I see it in my feed. And I exactly. keep it on because Nora writes stuff every once in a while. But, like, you know, I'm in there for the podcasts.
Yeah. It's just, I guess, you know, making stuff. Capitalism bad. Normal things.
It sucks. Yeah. There's a couple people, like, there's someone I support that I just like the work they do. I'm like, I'll give you, like, $3 a month. And I've turned it off. I've never interacted with that Patreon once. I just wanted to give them some money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's people like that for us, too.
Absolutely. There are definitely people like that for us.
It's weird. It's so weird.
Yep.
I don't know. I feel bad like we got very serious about the business stuff for like 10 minutes here. I feel like this is robbed content. Be entertaining. I feel like I brought everything to the table. Do something.
You did. I have nothing. I've been about, like, you know, I've been doing really badly. I just kind of...
Dance, monkey, dance!
Ask me something that isn't just be entertaining.
How does it feel to not be entertaining?
Bad.
It feels bad. Have you put your fucking chair together yet?
No! No, I haven't put my chair together. As you know, because you keep hearing this chair make weird noises.
I actually haven't heard about it. I heard it. I just thought about it. It doesn't typically pick up over the call. It only picks up over the audio files.
My inability to do anything is profound.
How do you feel about Pikami not using milk when she eats cereal?
Bad. You got to have some milk with your cereal.
Got to have some milk. We are milk fans here. We like milk.
Pro milk.
You know, if you're lactose intolerant or whatever, get some non-dairy milk. Get some oat milk. Get some almond milk. But fucking milk.
Why would you, the thing for me is that why would you eat dry cereal? Just have some eggs or something. Eggs are nice and better than dry cereal. If you don't like milk.
I mean, I assume it's like you would eat like chips, right? Like it's about like the, well, she specifically said it was about the cereal getting soggy. She wants the crunch. She's like, oh, it's got all that crunch. Why would you get rid of the crunch? And to that I say, pour a smaller goddamn bowl. If I've got a cereal that gets soggy really fast, like I like Golden Grahams, but I like the crunchy part. They get soggy pretty fast. Or Cinnamon Toast Crunch, not Golden Grahams. Stay hard forever. Cinnamon Toast Crunch dissolves if you look at it and the temperature is too moist in your apartment. So you put it in the bowl, put a little bit in, put a little bit of milk, eat it, and then you pour a little bit more in. And if your milk gets too sludgy, you drink the milk and you pour new milk, fresh milk. But it's not that much milk. It's not that much cereal because the bowl will not sustain. Like, my bowls are bigger than the amount of cereal that will sustain eating properly. It's fine.
For me, I had some shreddies today and I enjoyed cocoa shreddies with having them. You know, just some cereal.
Would you like to explain for the class what the hell a cocoa shreddy is if they don't know?
It is similar to a Golden Graham, I guess. It is just a chocolate wheat square, like a small square.
Yeah.
So similar in like size and texture to that, and I enjoy the bit where it's crunchy at the start, and also the bit where it's soggy at the end. You get two distinct states through the meal, through the breakfast. It's good, and then you drink the milk at the end.
For anyone playing at home, a shreddy is basically a Chex. It's like a Chex, chocolate Chex.
Okay. Yes,
I looked up just to verify. Because the shreddy implies it's like a frosted shreddy mini wheat, but chocolate, which is a very different type of cereal.
Frosted shreddy mini wheat? What?
Yeah, frosted shredded mini wheat.
Oh, shredded wheat. Okay, yes, and they used to do a version of shredded wheat, and it wasn't from the people who made shredded wheat, but it was a similar thing like that, like mini shredded wheat, either a frosted one or a chocolate one, you know, the two sugar variants.
Yes.
And I loved them so much. They were discontinued in like 2012, and yeah. I miss them.
When I was growing up, they had frosted. I guess it was still called frosted mini wheats, but it was like twice the size of the ones you get now. And I don't mm-hmm. understand why they make the small ones, because I liked the part where the other ones were like sizable. They're just a shittier food now.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, no, I understand that some people have like a texture thing. Like there's certain cereals where I want them to remain like intact and like rigid the entire time. There's other ones where my favorite cereal is Oops All Crunch Berries. Oops All Crunch Berries is a nightmare for your mouth. You need to let it sit and breathe in the milk for a little while. If you get some actual ass Captain Crunch, that can cause damage if you just eat it dry. You need to let that soak.
You don't just want to put your teeth in that?
Yeah, it's like eating beans. You got to soak the goddamn beans or they're not going to be any good.
And I agree, there are some real bad ones that get bad when they're soggy, right? Like, I don't want to eat frosted soggy Frosted Flakes, but my way around this
that's so gross
is to never have Frosted Flakes, because
I'll have Frosted Flakes every once in a while.
I like the first part of a Frosted Flakes bowl, like, fine, but they do get soggy real fast. So I guess instead of having them dry, I just have different cereal.
Yeah, my thing is that I'm always, if you got a new flavor of a cereal, I'm gonna try it. I don't care if it looks gross. I'm gonna try it because I love novelty. Just cereal.
You're a novelty food enjoyer.
Novelty food fan. It has to be really repugnant looking for me to not try it, just for the sake of having tried a new thing.
And one of the not worst things, but one of the weirdly like targeted things against you last year was the total lack of novelty fast food anything.
Yeah, no.
Like the entire industry stopped. You're like, how do I like feel a brief amount of joy after work?
Yeah, Mountain Dew put out a new flavor recently, that melon, Major Melon, and I'm gobsmacked because I can't even get Diet Barks anymore, and that's a crime because Diet Barks is my favorite soda. I typically drink diet sodas, you know. I'm convinced it's healthier for you, so that's what I do.
I mean, it is. Fine.
Yeah. I just don't like the flavor of sugared soda at this point, so I can't go back. I can't get that, but this new soda showed up and it came in zero sugar flavors. I'm like, what magic has the Mountain Dew Corporation worked to be able to launch not only a new flavor, but a new flavor and a diet variant under COVID? Because no one else can seem to get the fuck together.
No, it's been a disaster.
I can't get shredded hash browns at my Target to save my life. I got to go to the other grocery store that I don't like as much and have to pay more for. They always have it. I don't understand why Target's supply chain has just been so fucked the past like year and a half.
I mean, you do understand why Target supply chain has been so fucked.
No, I know. But I don't know why their supply chain is more fucked than the grocery store.
Yeah, it's weird. There's a lot of like weird uneven shit like that because of how everything works, right? Like, there's no logic to it.
Yep. Yeah. It's so weird.
Coming up on a year of this.
Yep. Middle of next month will be when I start working from home. It's wild. I guess we're just gonna keep doing this forever. I don't know. My day job work doesn't even have a building anymore. They sold the building. They're like, everyone's gonna work from home. Why would you keep the building open?
Yeah. No, it'd be stupid to sell the. So now there's nothing. There's no.
They're gonna eventually build another place that's smaller for people who like would like need to come in every once in a while or like would like to come in. But yeah, everyone's work from home.
So you're just working from home now, as long as you have that job, I guess.
Yeah, man, who knows how long that's going to be, you know? I'm not expecting to get fired, but it's under COVID. Look, even before that, I have a lot of anxiety. I once had a place where, like, literally everyone got fired because, like, we ran out of money. The thing we did really only worked when the economy was cogent, and it's 2009, so whoops, that doesn't work anymore.
yes.
Everyone got fired. Just one day, everything was fine. The next day, everyone's fired.
Oh, it wasn't even like a slow drip?
No, it was literally everyone here is gone.
No one had any time to like think it was coming. Damn, you got the that one's hard.
Yeah, put a fear in me of any day you could get fired, which is true. It seemed, you know what, history has borne that out.
That is 100% true. That is just true of all times. But it does mean whenever a meeting is called and they don't tell you what it's about, you're like, this is it.
Yeah, that's it.
We're all getting fired. I'm curious, like, what? You're still working from home when this is all fucking over?
Yeah, probably. When it's not winter, like, there's snow everywhere now, right now. It's been a bad winter. But if that building was open, I'd probably go into workout, like, once or twice a week, just because I fucking hate being in here all the time.
Right, that's my thing.
But I don't want to go back to working at a job 5 days a week. Are you kidding me? It sucks.
I know. Who would you call? You can't call
anyone.
On
my break now, I can lay down and watch YouTube you know what? I've been playing Kodelka over my break. I just switched to my other computer and I play like 20 minutes and I'm like, back to work.
Yep.
I don't get that if I work in an office.
No, God.
I have to put on pants, proper pants again.
When was the last? When was the last time I put on proper pants?
Oh, I all the time.
I'm still.
Anytime I go out, I gotta get the mail and do laundry and shit. Like, I have to leave the apartment all the time. But.
Yep. I am not like not getting dressed, but I definitely in like last April bought way more like casual indoor clothes.
Yeah, fair enough.
just fucking like I guess we're in it. Let's get some light trousers, please. I'm not putting on jeans anymore.
Yeah. I guess that's a way of life.
I guess it is. I used to be jeans all the time.
I'm still, I'm mostly jeans all the time. around home, I'll like wear some like, you know, I got some like tights and stuff, leggings. Mm-hmm. I'll wear leggings. Got a couple shorts, but it's not that, you know, it's cold right now. So
that's true. That's true.
I have a couple of nice pants, but I don't need them for my job. I didn't even before COVID. So I like a jean.
Yeah, no, I'm whenever I'm like going places, I need jeans, but I haven't gone places in a year. So,
nope.
I guess that's that. That's a VoIP life.
That's a VoIP life. Thanks, everyone. I hope this one was good because we just wonged it. winged it. We winged it. It seems wrong. It's probably the correct term, but I don't know. Anyway, we made it up off the top of our head like all podcasts, and I hope that you enjoyed this hour of content, and I hope you look forward to many, many more.
We wonged it.
I'm so tired.
Good night.
Trigger seems locked. I can't stop staring at the tick-tock clock. And even if I could, I would never give up. With a vest on my chest, a bullet in my lung, I can't believe I'm dying with my song unsung. And if and when I die, won't you bury me alone? 'Cause I'll never get to heaven if I'm singing this song. There was something wrong, would you be all so strong? Would you do what it takes to move this all lifelong? I like to think I would, you know, I like to think I would. But I can guarantee that what you see is not reality. Never thought you'd make some point to make it get a boy. She said it's easy, but in the end you have no choice. And you know, it's going just the way that it goes. Is that a right, man? That is just the way that it goes. And the days that seem like forever. And the days that seem like forever. But forever is never enough. I like to sing a song from a to all below. I don't have to be long, but I don't want to get this better. Kid who never cared about the little things. Don't even bother, 'cause I'm tired and I'm sick of it. And every time she makes a point, I make a kind of boy. She said it's easy, but in the end you have no choice. And you know, it's only just the way that it goes. Is that it right, man? That's just the way that it goes. I got a gun in my hand, but the gun won't pop. And my fingers on the trigger, but the trigger seems locked. And I can't stop there, not the tick tock clock. And even if I'm good, I would never give up. With the best on my chest, the bullet in my lung, I can't believe. That what you get is an apology. Drop back the day we met and never fall back. You were then the way ever. I let you down, I wanna ask you. Take it down a notch, but you thunk it on through. And the days that seem like forever. And the days that seem like forever. But forever is never enough. I like to sing a song, but I do won't be long. I thought you'd be long, but I don't wanna get this story wrong. There was a trick we never get about the little things. Don't bother, 'cause I still don't give a shit. And every time you make a point, I make a kind of boy. Shit is easy, but in the end you have no choice. And you know, so it's just the way that it goes. Smile and agree with everything they say. They try to tell you that it's all okay, but it's not in your shot. You're bleeding pretty bad, and you can't stop thinking about the things you never had, like a wife and a kid and the things you never did. Run around living a life that's empty in the end, my friend. No, you'll take back all you've said. Oh, and
wouldn't hear the bang when the bang never came.